I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today we have a story. This is an ongoing serialized story. I create these stories for comprehensible input. With comprehensible input, if you watch videos or listen to stories and you can follow the story or follow the discussion, you will automatically absorb and acquire the English language. It really does work. This is how comprehensible input actually works. In today's episode, we again join Gil and Dewan. There are previous episodes in a playlist that set the stage for this episode. The playlist is entitled Stories About the Mysterious Ben Harper. Spoiler alert, there is no spoiler. Gil is Ben Harper, but Gil was his actual name in the 19th century. So we join Gil and Dewan. Gil is from Salem, Massachusetts, but he's in Constantinople, and he has engaged the services of a tutor, a teacher, and that is Dewan. Dewan is a native of Constantinople. This story occurs in the late 1850s during the Ottoman era. They were not in the Republic of Turkey. They were in the Ottoman Empire, and Constantinople was the capital of the Ottoman Empire. As we join Gil and Dewan, they have met in the morning for another lesson. These lessons, so that Gil can understand Turkish, occur most every day, and they are conducted while walking around the city, looking at things and discussing things. This was an early form of comprehensible input. On this day, they met, and Dewan recommended that they take the boat across the Bosphorus to the Anatolian side. That is, to the Asian side of the Bosphorus Strait. They got on the boat and it disembarked, heading across the Bosphorus to the Anatolian side of Constantinople. Dewan explained that the vibe, the feeling on the Anatolian side was somewhat different. It was less cosmopolitan and perhaps a little more Turkish. Dewan said he wanted to take Gil to a particular restaurant on the other side of the Bosphorus that he found particularly cozy and typical. It would also give them plenty of opportunity to talk. While they were traveling across the Bosphorus, Dewan expressed his opinion that the Bosphorus Strait was just so massive and so amazing that no one would ever build a bridge across it. He told Gil that hundreds of years in the future, people would still be taking boats across the Bosphorus to get to the other side. Now, we in the 21st century know that this is not true. That was his opinion, but it didn't turn out to be a true one. In 1973, the first bridge was opened crossing the Bosphorus. That was called the Bosphorus Bridge. In 1988, the second bridge was opened, and that bridge is called Fatih. And then in 2016, the third Bosphorus Bridge was opened. So now, in the 21st century, there are three bridges crossing the Bosphorus. But in our story, Dewan is certain and informing Gil that there will never be a bridge built. When they got to the other side, they disembarked from the boat and started walking. There weren't that many people around, so they could speak frankly. Dewan said, "You know, the last time we spoke, you were very concerned about how I dealt with the loss of Gün. Maybe we should pick that topic up again. Maybe we should try to resolve that." Gil nodded. Dewan continued, He said, I noticed that you were very interested in this topic. Why are you so focused on this problem of us outliving our loved ones? Gil started to speak, and then he paused. A lot of things were going through his mind. He said, well, I suppose I should tell you a story. He then recounted to Duan the events that brought him to this point. He described his happy marriage to his first wife. He described her sudden illness. He explained his horror when the doctors had nothing to offer. And then he described the depths of depression he fell into when she died. Hearing all of this, Duan nodded with understanding, but there was more. Gil said, you know, I have been resolving this in my mind over a period of years, but something unexpectedly happened. That is, I met a lady in Exeter, and she is wonderful. She is very different than my wife was, but in her own right, she is wonderful. Her name is Giselle. Duan thought, aha, Duan is beginning to understand where this conflict is coming from. He started to realize that Gil is torn between his devotion to his deceased wife and her memory versus this lovely young woman who is very much alive. So far, Duan doesn't have a clear picture of how this is a major problem. He doesn't know how it's manifesting. So he said, go on. Why is this a problem to you? He asked, are you in a romance with this lady? Gil said, well, I was. He paused. Now, this answer was not very satisfying to Duan. He said, what are you talking about? You were. Did you break it off? Did you leave her forever? Again, Gil paused and he said, I may have done something really bad. The last time I saw her, when I parted from her, I didn't explain very well. I just said that I was leaving, that I had to take care of something. I had to go away. And then when she asked me when I would come back, I said I didn't know. And when she asked me if I would come back, I said I didn't know. Duan said, oh no, that's terrible. If you really care about her, you can't do that to her. Gil said, I know, I feel terrible, but I didn't know what else to say at the time. Duan thought about this problem and referred to his own experience and how he had dealt with this in the past. Duan shared his approach to Gil. He said, with this life on earth, we have to deal with impermanence all the time. When we have a child or a spouse, a lover, and we have great devotion, we want to hold on. We want to grasp and keep them. But with this life on earth, we can't, because things are not permanent. People are not permanent. We could look at our situation because of the amulet that we have a great burden because we are going to live longer and the people we know and the people we love are going to die. We're going to lose them. But this is actually no different in reality than what everyone goes through. No one lives with the promise that they will always have their wife or they will always have their children. When a new baby is born, we want to hold on to that baby. But that baby won't last. It will be replaced by a 1-year-old, and the 1-year-old will be replaced by a 10-year-old, and the 10-year-old will be replaced by a parent. The fact that we have these amulets just means that we have to deal with impermanence. But in reality, it's no different than what everyone else has to deal with. Gil was listening to these statements by Duan with great interest. He had been worrying and obsessing about this ever since he left England. He now realized how selfish he had been. He had actually dealt her a loss similar to the one that he was trying to avoid. He realized just how unfair he had been to her that last time they spoke when they parted. They walked on in silence for a long time. Because of such a heavy topic, the Turkish lesson was very much on hold. They walked through the streets and they arrived at their restaurant. They sat down and ordered a meal. It was quite refreshing. And they walked back down to the water to catch the boat back across the Bosphorus. This had been a long trip for them with a lot of discussion. Gil realized that he would not be able to speak frankly about these confidential things related to the amulet because there would be too many people around and someone might understand what he is saying. They had formed the habit of not talking about anything confidential on these boats. As they came near to the water, Gil summarized his thoughts by saying that he feels badly for Giselle. He feels very guilty, and he really wished that he had handled that last meeting very differently. He summarized by saying, she deserves better than that. The crossing back to the European side of the Bosphorus was uneventful. Gil thanked Duan with a little more enthusiasm than usual. He shook his hand and made it clear that he was grateful for the insight that he had gotten. That night, Gil found himself still thinking about Giselle and the way he had treated her. He tossed and turned. It took him a long time to get to sleep. And then he found himself in Exeter. He was walking in Exeter. He realized where he was. He was walking to meet Giselle in Exeter. It was the time of their last parting. He realized he was in the dream portal and he was going to meet Giselle. Soon she came into view. He greeted her very warmly and they started their walk. Their time together was the same as he recalled from the first time it occurred before he got into the dream portal. When they got to the discussion of their future, Giselle made it clear that she wanted to be married. But this time, Gil responded in a very different way. Instead of celebrating his own depression and his own fear of loss, he expressed his feelings to her. He pledged his devotion to her. He then said, now, I must do something. I must go away for a while, but I'm not going away forever. I'm just going away for a short while. I have something I need to do, but I promise I will come back to you. I promise that I'll come back to you as soon as I can. At this point, Giselle smiled. She had tears in her eyes. She put her head on his shoulder and wept. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.